Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
New Scientist articles, 15th of December 2018. Get lost. Why do some people have such a terrible sense of direction, wonders Emma Young. It's autumn in New York City, and the butterfly is setting off on a 4,000-kilometer journey to a fir tree on a mountainside in central Mexico, where it will spend the winter. It's autumn in New York City, and you come out of a cafe, set off to your hotel just a few blocks away, take the wrong turn, and get utterly lost. Beautiful, journalism there, Emma. Perhaps it's unfair to compare the navigational skills of humans to those of the legendary monarch butterfly, but, however, you look at it, our sense of direction isn't up there with the greats. Despite our stunning cognitive abilities, we can be dunces when it comes to finding our way around, and some of us are very good at getting lost indeed. Why we are so bad at navigating has been a mystery for centuries, but now, at last, we have some answers for start. The mechanisms of the brain GPS are being laid bare. We are also discovering why some people have better sense of direction than others. The latest findings even address the stereotype of men as better navigators than women. They also show how we can all become better navigators. Although we will never match the monarch butterfly, there are ways that we can help ourselves make it back to the hotel. Beautiful piece of journalism. First things first, your sense of direction is not, of course, an actual single sense. What we are talking about here is your ability to get a destination as quickly and as efficiently as possible without getting lost. To do this, you need to know where you are in relation to landmarks. You must also be able to update your position if you turn a corner or decide to take a shortcut, say. Experience tells us that some people are much better at these things than others, and science backs this up. Some of the most enlightened research has been done at the University of California, Santa Barbara, UCSB. In a classic study published in 2005, Toru Iswaka and Daniel Matello of UCSB drove in dust individual university students along a few routes in a residential neighborhood they didn't know, with lots of hills and winding roads. When they probed the students' spatial understanding of the area, standing at one landmark, students had to point to the direction of another one that they couldn't see, or sketch a map of the neighborhood. There was marked differences in the performance of the 24 people tested. Some of them improved gradually over 10 weekly sessions, but most either got it within a single session or simply never did. Okay. Further work revealed that we seem to have reasonable insight into our own ability to make it home. That it has been shown by the Santa Barbara Sense of Direction Scale, developed by UCSB's Spatial Thinking Lab by Mary Hegarty and her colleagues. It asks people to indicate how much they agree or disagree with a statement such as, I'm very good at giving directions, I have a poor memory for where I left things, I am very easily get lost in a new city. People's scores on the scales correlate pretty well with how they actually perform in test navigation. However, their performance on these tasks don't correlate with the scores on intelligence tests. Sometimes they don't even correlate with other kinds of social abilities, such as mental rotation tasks, says Hegarty. Our sense of direction is unrelated to the general intelligence. What does explain the chasm between individuals? One way at this is to consider the two main approaches we use to navigate. Route-based navigation entails remembering landmarks on a particular journey, turn left at the church and right at the park, and so on. It works pretty well in familiar towns on regular journeys, but is inflexible. What do you do if roadworks force you to take another route? There is mental mapping, which involves creating, either consciously or unconsciously, a mental map of your environment akin to an app map. This approach is sometimes considered superior because it's more flexible and allows you to take shortcuts where appropriate. However, it's also more cognitively demanding. Most of us use both tactics, but the trick is to get the balance right. Good navigators probably select the best strategy for the job automatically, says Hegarty. And this is where they can say something about the loaded question of whether men are better with directions than women. There have been many studies using a variety of tests of navigation to probe this. Sometimes men and women perform equally well. However, in tests where men outperform women, there are hints that this may be down to preference among men for using mental mapping compared with the preference among women for using route-based navigation. In new research, for example, Hegarty and others put 140 UCSB students in a virtual reality maze with high concrete walls. The maze contained 12 objects, including a chair and a duck placed at various junctions. After being taught the route through the maze, the volunteers were started off at one object and asked to navigate to another. Sometimes the learned route was the shortest path, at other times it was to take a novel route. The researchers found that women were more likely to follow the learned routes and to wander. Men showed a greater preference for trying to work out shortcuts, which caused mental mapping. On average, males were faster and covered less ground in reaching the target. Previous studies have found that women are less likely than men to explore shortcuts. Why might this be? Sarah Cream Rager of the University of Utah has an idea. Her research shows that when navigating an unfamiliar virtual environment, women have a more cautious approach and tend to return more often to places where they have already visited than men do. She suggests that ancestral times women got lost would have more vulnerable than a man. Her potential gain from taking a shortcut would arguably have been lower than a man's given the relatively high risk to life she encountered an unexpected threat such as a predator's den. It isn't faster, it's safer to return to places you've already visited, says Cream Rager. This is guff as far as I'm concerned. It sounds plausible, however, until very recently, researchers interested in navigation have focused on people from Western cultures. As such, the results might not apply to women generally, or to our ancestors. Might we get a different view of sex differences in navigation by looking at people in traditional society? That's what anthropologist Elizabeth Kashtan at the University of Utah and others are trying to find out. Kashtan and her colleagues are looking at small-scale societies, in particular the Tisman of Bolivia, the Tui of Namibia. Researchers found that Tui and Nisbin boys and girls are equally good at pointing accurately to distant location and at imagining in one location and pointing towards another. Two classic sets of tests of navigation ability. Then, around adolescence, girls from both groups become increasingly concerned about physical dangers, including the risk of getting lost. In the driving seat, this seems to support Cream Rager's ideas about but there is a twist. Although sex links differences in navigation emerges in the Tui adults, it doesn't in the Tisman. Kitchen thinks she knows why. The Tisman hunt, forage, and fish in dense, dangerous jungle and tend not to roam far. The Tui live in open savanna. Unlike Tisman, Tui men have much larger ranges than women in particular. They travel long distances to visit partners. The society isn't monogamous. As a result of this, they face greater navigational challenges and gain more experience, which may explain the differences in adults. That's Kashtan. Okay. This suggests that our navigational abilities have less to do with whether we are male or female per se, more to do with environment factors and personal experience. In the West, men tend to drive more than women, which would give them greater experience at navigating, says Kate Jeffrey, who studies cognitive maps at the University College of London. In addition, most tests of navigation are done in virtual reality environments, giving advantage to people who regularly play video games. These tend to be men. The physical environment we inhabit also seems to play a part, as it does for the Tui and the Tisman. In a yet-to-be-published research, Erica Borchardt-Katz, a student from Cream Rager, found that people who live in a city at Padua in Italy with a dense network of regular small streets were better at point-to-point landmark tests than people from Salt Lake. A city, which is built on a strict grid system. Oh, that would be really fun. Other factors underpinning the individual differences in emerging from a massive study of Hugo Pierce, University College of London, which surveys people's navigational ability using mobile phone-based game called Sea Hero Quest. In an analysis of more than 500,000 people from 57 countries, the rest reformers were living in nations with greater gender equality and greater economic wealth, associated with higher levels of education, which improves abstract problem solving. The presence of four Nordic countries in the top 10 has led Spears to speculate that there may be a good selection of navigational abilities in their Viking and seafaring past. But it also helps to have a culture participating in sports requiring navigation, such as orienteering. Another reason for individual differences could, in theory, lie in the way our brains process sensory information we use in navigation. See your brain's GPS below. For example, a recent study revealed that good navigators tend to have superior sense of smell. Others suggest that postural asymmetry may explain why some people are attempting to take a straight route might eventually start walking in a circular one in dim light of darkness. The key here seems to be slight variation in functioning of the vestibular system of the inner ear, which is crucial for orientation. It is all very well knowing why you sense of direction you might be lacking, but there is anything you can prove. No one really is looking at systematically on how to train people to be better navigators, says Hegarty. Nevertheless, our growing knowledge of what is involved does provide some clues. She and Jeffrey both advocate simply paying more attention to the environment, consciously noting landmarks and turns you make. For example, the regularly looking behind you, a technique that some animals use. In addition, Jeffrey checks for the direction of the shadows to orient herself when she becomes out of her tube station. I also look at the compass on my phone. I'm not averse to modern technology, he says. But perhaps we are better off not relying on technology. I'm fairly confident that regular use of map software impairs person's ability to find their way to the earth, says Montalb. It certainly impairs cognitive map information. He believes that set maps and phone map apps are undermining our natural navigation abilities, going as far as to describe this as technological infantilism. We know there is a virtuous cycle when it comes to navigation. I think we're trying to say vicious, but it says virtuous. People with better sense of direction are more likely to explore the environment rather than rely on their own routes, which helps them build their cognitive maps and also improves their sense of direction. Quote, if you want your children to be able to find their own ways without a net technology, you have better than practice, he says. These sub-articles, Disoriented Ape. Why do humans seem to be so poor at navigating compared to other animals? One answer might be we don't generally undertake long migrations. Our survival hasn't depended on being able to do so, and therefore we haven't evolved the abilities found in animals that must. Or we could do the opposite. They could do it because they had it. Super navigators such as monarch butterflies, leatherback turtles, honeybees, Atlantic salmon, migratory birds are able to sense the Earth's magnetic field, for example, helping them cover distance with unerring accuracy. But our sense of direction really any worse than the animals that are more like us? It's hard to be sure, because it is difficult to find tests that allow direct comparison. Animals probably have senses unavailable to us, like superior olfaction. They give them large-scale compass information that we lack. This is Kate Jeffrey, the University of College London. We, on the other hand, are very good at reasoning and constructing complex mental maps. We also have language that gives us a whole other domain. She thinks that the natural environment, we can see mountains, rivers, and the sun. For instance, we may not be much worse than other mammals. However, navigating a city where the tall buildings often block directional clues isn't easy. We make it even more difficult, says Jeffrey. Signs within London Underground, for example, require you to decide whether you want to go northbound or southbound, westbound or eastbound or westbound. This assumes you already know the layout of London. Worse, it won't help you to build a good mental map. Elizabeth Cashin of the University of Utah also thinks that we are too hard on ourselves. She studied the navigation ability of modern hunter-gatherers, the main story, and suggests that if humans appear to have a worse sense of direction than other species, it might be because we have to cope with such a wide array of environments. Generally, we cope pretty well, she says. We didn't evolve needing to travel from North to South America, but we do need to know how to forage locally and get to the drugstore, and we usually can. Your brain's... This is the next sub-article. Your brain's GPS. Whether you are an orienteering champion or struggle to find your way out of the paper bag, your brain is equipped with a sophisticated piece of kit that helps you navigate your world. The first inkling came in 1971 when John O'Keefe of the University College of London discovered the place of cells in the hippocampus of rats. Each of these cells fired specific locations of the animal moved around the enclosure. So by remembering patterns of the place and cell activity, the rat could effectively map the environment. O'Keefe reasoned. In 2014, he shared the Nobel Prize for this discovery. Whoa! Oh, dude, that was a bit of a shock. The other half of the prize went to May Britt Moser and Edward Moser of the Norwegian University of Science and Technology for the discovery in 2005 of grid cells located near the hippocampus. They farm in groups, each mapping into a discrete hexagonal region of the ground as the animal moves across it. It's thought that by essentially unfurling the grid map over a two-dimensional space as it goes, the rat gets precise information about the distance between the object within it, including itself. Navigating neurons. Place cells and grid cells have been found in human brains, as have a variety of other neurons specialized for navigation. Head direction cells encode the orientation of your head, providing a reference point for grid and place cells. Border cells fire when you get close to a boundary, such as a wall, and spatial view cells become active when you look at a place, even if you don't actually go there. Like all primates, humans rely heavily on vision. However, navigation requires input from multiple senses. Sound, sense, and touch are involved, as the signals from the muscles in your legs as we move. We also use information from the vestibular system, which is your inner ear. This registers not only your head movements, but also our orientation, so it also tells us about how fast we're moving and in which direction. Given the complexity of our mental GPS, it's hardly surprising that things can go wrong. When the lights go out and the visual input is lacking, for example, the firing of place cells starts to drift, leaving us disoriented. And, of course, some of us have far more poor sense of direction than others, perhaps partly because our mental mapping isn't as well set up.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.